Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, writer and editor, one-time opera singer, and now organizer for the drama and dance nights at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts, Chris Cameron. Chris is also the director of one of the plays to be presented at the Festival of the Arts on October 24th to 26th. Oh, and I mustn't forget to tell you he's also a member of the panel, which we'll be discussing, Sharing Across the Arts, at the lunch hour on Saturday. Each week we usually visit with an author, an editor, or a publisher who have regional or local connections, and we hope to find out a little about their lives and what prompts them to write. Or in this case, we're going to find out what causes him to jump in and take on so many tasks vital to the success of the festival. So we're very pleased to welcome Chris Cameron again today.
Thank you so much, Gwen. It's so nice to be here. I actually, with all of the things you just listed, it's amazing that I found time even to drop in, isn't it?
It is. Well, Chris Cameron enjoyed a successful career as a professional opera singer, retiring in 2009. Several years ago, he began a new career as a freelance writer and editor. His first book, a memoir of his singing years, Dr. Bartolo's Umbrella and Other Tales from My Surprising Operatic Life, was published in 2017. In June 2017, Chris and his wife Karen moved to the banks of the Trent River in Campbellford. And a great deal has happened since then.
It certainly has.
So let's begin with the drama and dance night at the festival, Chris. Tell us about it. Who are the dancers and what plays are going to be produced?
It's going to be a very exciting part of the festival, I think. We're producing four original 10-minute plays, so mini plays, really. And they were chosen by a panel, which I was also on, of Spirit of the Hills people. They were also submitted by Spirit of the Hills authors. And there were quite a few submitted. We had to choose four out of that. The four plays that we have going are Love on a Park Bench by playwright and poet Chris Black, who lives in Campbellford. Mouse by Coburg local Marie-Lynn Hammond, who I'm sure many people know. Plan X by Coburg, north of Coburg, poet Katie Hogendam. And the fourth one is Einstein's Fridge by Peterborough, or actually Keen playwright and author Ron Mackay. So those four plays are going to be presented and interspersed in between the plays, and they'll be fully staged as well with representational sets and actors that we've been auditioning locally. Interspersed with the plays will be some dancing, including Leslie Daly and her husband, Michael Daly, will present their very popular flamenco act that they do. I'm sure they're quite well known to Northumberland audiences. And there will be a not-to-be-forgotten belly dancing act by Alison Townsend as well. And both these artists are favorites in the area, and I'm sure they're going to spice up our evening.
That's quite the program. I'm looking forward to it. So you mentioned the four plays, their titles and their authors. Can you tell us a little bit, without giving away too much, about each of the plays and or their playwrights?
Yes, I did. I did sort of give away the names of the plays, but I'll tell you about Love on a Park Bench by Campbellford poet and author Christopher Black. It's a charming, touching little scene that takes place, as you might expect, on a park bench between two older gentlemen. And they get talking about life and love and this and that, and they get into a heated argument, and eventually everything gets resolved. Mouse is by well-known Coburg musician and writer Marie-Lynn Hammond, and it presents an encounter actually on a bus, a municipal bus, between two very opposite people who actually end up turning out to have more in common than either of them would think at the first. Einstein's Fridge by author and playwright Ronald Mackay shows us an imaginary meeting, at least we assume it's imaginary, between Albert Einstein and the daughter he had with his first wife. But he never saw her again after he left them both when the girl was a baby. We don't really know what became of the daughter, so this is a kind of a speculative piece. What would happen if they did meet when the daughter was an adult? Plan X is an allegorical tale, and I'm not going to say what the allegory is, but it centers on a young woman who wants to have a child, but is having difficulty conceiving. And this play is about the miraculous gift she is given by an old friend of hers. And this play was written by Northumberland poet Katie Hogendam, and I think it'll blow audiences away.
Oh, cool. Also very different. That sounds great. So, as an organizer of an evening like this, what are some of the greatest challenges that you have faced?
The greatest challenges, outside of being tempted to volunteer for even more, more tasks, I guess the thing about volunteering for something like this is the zillion loose ends that you have to tie up. And to me, it's a bit like herding cats in a way. Or that game that they call whack-a-mole, where you just get one solved and another one popped up. But the thing is that that's all part of the... all part of it, right? Finding and keeping resources and making sure that everyone's doing what they're keeping on track, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Being an organizer actually takes me out of my comfort zone because I'm not a natural organizer. But all my life, I felt most alive outside my comfort zone. So I embrace the challenge here. I'm most excited, since you asked, to see the words on the pages of the plays come to life when they're spoken by real actors. Yeah. I remember hearing a lecture by a French-Canadian playwright, Michel Tremblay, who wrote all sorts of plays. Yes. I was in an operatic version of a play of his called Saint Carmen of the Main. It was the first time any of his plays had been translated into English and sung. And I actually played a pimp in that one, which was very against type, I have to say. Michel gave a lecture in which he said he became a playwright rather than a novelist, because he didn't 100% know what he wanted his play to end up like in the final version. He had an idea, but he wanted to leave it to someone else. And this is what I love about these plays. We have words on a page, and eventually they're going to become people on a stage playing characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most exciting part.
Yeah, for me too, plays to me are a collaboration, and they're not finished until the audience is actually viewing them, because the audience brings something.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Now, what about settings? These are very short one-act plays. Are they going to be separate sets for each play, or how's that going to work?
The plays will be presented in the same venue as the rest of the Festival of the Arts at St. Peter's Anglican Church at College and King in Coburg, and we'll be in the auditorium there. So we will be on a stage, and there will be lighting, and we will have, after a fashion, sets. Now, Catalin Futo is our set designer, and she's come up with an ingenious way to combine various pieces into different combinations. So we might use the same pieces for all four of the plays, but they'll be set up in different ways to represent something different. So we might have an alcove on a rainy street in one. We might have a front porch in another. We might have a school bus or a municipal bus on another. And they'll all be done with the same set pieces. So in between the plays, almost part of the action will be people moving these set pieces around. And we haven't worked that all out yet, but as I keep telling people, or myself, we have plenty of time. But since the plays are very short, obviously we can't do Phantom of the Opera in terms of sets. We have to be very, very ingenious about what we do, and I think we have been.
Good. Now, there are going to be two performances, I understand. So when are they, and how do people buy tickets for them?
That's a good question. I mean, it's a good question I can answer. The performances of the plays and the dancing numbers are at St. Peter's Anglican Church in Coburg on October 24th and 25th, and the evenings each start at 7:15 p.m. We decided to offer the program on two nights for two reasons. First of all, after working so hard to prepare our plays, we thought it would be a shame to perform them only once, so we did them twice. Also, we can give audiences a choice of nights and hopefully catch a broader group of people, of playgoers. The simplest way to investigate any tickets for drama and dance or for any part of the festival, as well as the whole kit and caboodle that we're doing, is to visit the Spirit of the Hills website, I would say, at spiritofthehills.org. Everything is there, and it's beautifully laid out now. We have all sorts of information on the page that you see when you click on that link. You should also check out, when you're there, the festival blog, which has interviews with people and other insights and just various information about how an Irish festival of this size is organized.
Well, Chris, that's a lot to take in and a lot to see. I've got my tickets already, so I will be there.
I'm very, very excited about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Exciting. And we've been talking with Chris Cameron about the drama and dance night portion of the Spirit of the Hills Festival of Arts, taking place October 24th to 26th. And now we'll take a short break.